offer to you quite freely. You're sampling only for the taking, no cost or no obligation to you. Your testament of the Bible in its entirety offered to you. Yours for the reading, meditate upon God's word, study, and who knows, but perhaps maybe God command the light to shine into your hearts and minds and reveal to you the knowledge of himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. He's the one, of course, of whom the Bible speaks about from beginning to end, start to finish. God's testimony, his record concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world, of course, to be a Savior, save, deliver you from your present and, of course, worst danger, that of your own personal involvement in sin. In the Old Testament of the Bible, we read, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. And King David goes on to ask the question, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? God's name, of course, is any means by which God has deemed that necessary to make himself known. That, of course, through what you would call nature, but God's creation. All the things that God has made leaves man without any excuse whatsoever for not knowing God, not seeking him, and not coming to repentance of their sin and being reconciled to God through the gospel. Some men, of course, they call themselves atheists, but God says otherwise. He says there's no such a thing on planet Earth. All men know that God is, you know, and I know, but that truth, of course, is repressed. It's held down in unrighteousness, because in the sinful condition in which you are naturally conceived and born, of course, there is that antipathy, there is that enmity in the heart of man against God, hostilely suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. But the knowledge of God is within you, innately stamped upon your being. All men have the seed of religion, have the knowledge of God in themselves. So in all creation, God is to be seen, his handiwork, his wisdom, his power, and his divinity. But of course, in order to come to a saving knowledge, that is a knowledge of God's forgiveness, a knowledge of God in loving covenant relationship, well, that takes something else. That takes the Word of God. There God has more clearly and fully made himself known, and of course what it is that he requires of us, of yourself and myself included. And that is, of course, in the first instance, repentance towards God through his Son Jesus Christ, through faith in the Son of God's name. The name Jesus, of course, the final full revelation of the being of God as a Savior, Jesus Christ, made of a woman, made under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law, under the curse of the law, that is, the condemnation of God's law that stands against every one of us for all who sin and come short of the glory of God, and all in need of God's reconciling grace. Well, King David asks the question here, what is man, what is natural man? Well, naturally speaking, natural born man, we are all of us, the Bible declares, conceived in sin. Conceived in sin and born in sin. So therefore, you come into the world shapen in iniquity, says King David. You come into the world a natural born sinner. And that, of course, is where all the evil in your world comes from. Every form of evil, all the troubles, man is born to the misery, the pain, yes, all of it, my friends. If you trace it back to its original source, it will take you to the same place each and every time. It will take you to your own heart, deceitful and desperately wicked, says God. Conceived, born in sin, natural born sinner, and so naturally sinning. Impotent, you know, not able to lift one little finger to deliver yourself from that sinful nature. God Himself must change it. He alone can. That natural state in which you come into the world, unless it's changed, unless by the power of God, the power of the gospel, that is, that nature within you is changed, my friends, the day will come. As one good bishop once said, the day will come when you will wish you had never been born at all. That's why Jesus says you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Marvel not, says Jesus, that I say unto you, ye must be born again. It's no marvel at all when you consider what man is. What man is, that is, by nature, what he is by natural birth. Sin, you see, is passed on through the generations. Began with your first parent and my first parent. His name was Adam. Not just the first man, but the head of the human race. And when he entered into sin, he brought that sin down upon the rest of his posterity. So that from his time onwards, through natural generation, one generation after another, the sin disease, the sin virus is passed on one child after another. So that God asked the question, can you bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Impossible. Can you bring a clean child out of unclean parents? This too is an impossibility. My friends, we need to be washed. We need to be made clean. But our very natures need to be altered. That's what God does in His regenerating power in the gospel. That's what God does when a man or woman is born again by the gospel that I declare unto you. The power of God unto salvation. That is able, my friends, to change and to transform the vilest, I tell you, the vilest of sinners. So what is man? He's a sickly, tiny, little grain of sinful dust on the horizon of God's universe, full of pride and arrogance, thinking himself to be something when he is nothing, thinking himself to be something to be gloried in, something that, everybody and anybody owes a favor to. My friends, here is the sinfulness of the human race. Here's the natural born state and condition. Men and women, every single one of us born into this world. We think that the world should revolve around us. We think that everybody should be at our beck and call, God included. But no, my friends. The universe, everything in it, yourself too, was made for God's glory, and glory He shall have out of you. Believe it or not, He shall be glorified in you, one way or the other, either in your salvation or your damnation. So what is man? sickly, tiny little speck of sinful dust on the horizon of God's universe. A map of misery. Trace man's beginnings right to his end and nothing but misery. Is that not, my friends, cause? Do you not even have a saying amongst yourselves that he is or she is as miserable as sin? Because you well know, you understand it yourselves, that sin and sinful living is the cause of all your misery. It's what makes you happy. You say, well, does it matter as long as I'm happy? If it makes me happy, does it really matter? If men and women fornicate, sodomize, if they do these unclean, filthy, vile things, does it really matter if it makes them happy? Yes, it does. But the thing is, it doesn't make them happy. The very opposite. Sinful living, ungodly living, living in this world without God is not only vanity, but it makes men and women miserable. But here you are, that misery is writ large upon your faces. That is not what you have or what you do. It doesn't last very long, the happiness. It's soon gone, and you're back to your old miserable self. Why? Because the sin remains with you. Remove the sin and you remove the misery. But of course, you want the effects dealing with. You want the misery to be taken away, but not the sin. Why? Because, well, as God says in his word, you love your sin. You love the darkness. Because your deeds are evil. You will not come to the light. You will not come to the one who can relieve you of the misery. The cause of it, I mean. But now you want the effects to be dealt with, but not the cause. But if you go to the cause, you'll find each and every time the cause of it, my friends, is your wickedness and nature and practice. And why God calls for, my friends, regeneration. The need is to be resurrected, not to be religious. Religion won't resurrect you. Religion won't put life into your soul. Religion, my friends, won't do it, won't cut it. You need to be remade, my friends, made a new creature in Jesus Christ. You need to be born again, my friends, of the Spirit of God. So marvel not, says Jesus. Marvel not. You look at the state of humanity. You look at man, what he has become. In sin, that is. You look at the state of the human race, the violence, the evil that stalks the world. You look at it, my friends, it's no marvel. No marvel that God says that you must be born again, because nothing else will do. You need to be remade. You need to be renovated completely, raised from your deadness and trespasses and sins, says God. Made alive. Born, naturally born into a state of death, and all you do is not living, you just exist for what, 70 years, 80 years perhaps, maybe not even that long, but you exist for a time in God's world, and you depart from it, and your state of death continues for all eternity, unless by the grace of God you are reborn. Unless by my gospel you're reborn. You must be born again. Natural state, my friends. Misery. Nothing but a history of misery from beginning to end. You begin life by crying. The moment you leave your mother's womb, you start crying. And that continues on throughout your life right to the end. And you die in the same way. It is appointed unto man once to die. Death, my friends, is unnatural. Why do you think men and women fear it? Why do you think the Bible calls it the King of Terrors? Because, my friends, it's not natural. It's not a part of life, my friends. You're not made to die. Death, my friends, is God's answer to your sin, his no to your sin. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, he said, to your first parents. The wages of sin is death, inescapable. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that comes the judgment. Death, my friends, is the result of sin. A history of misery, weeping, crying, mourning. And then, my friends, the end of it is nothing but death. Sin, my friends, the wages, sin's wages, payback time. It must come, and then you stand before God and give account. In that day, my friends, when God judges you, you give account for your sin nature and your sin practice. Just a compound, that's what man is. A compound of clay and sin, made from the clay of the earth. And of course, mix in some sin and stir it up, and what have you got? You got the evil beast, the brute beast that man has become. Is that not clear? Is that not evident in your world today? You talk about lives mattering? I don't believe you. All this talk about lives matter, they don't matter a whit. According to your World Health Organization, in the space of 1 year, 1 year just, 56 million unborn children were ripped from their mother's wombs and slaughtered in the name of abortion. And you tell me lives matter? I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Bring an end to the abortion, and then I'll listen to you, but not until. But not just abortion, all the violence, the drugs, the murder. Then, of course, at the other end of the spectrum, terminally ill, you know, your life brought to an end by the medics who are sworn to preserve your life, to make you healthy. Euthanasia, they call it. The word actually means a good death. My friends, there is no such thing as a good death outside of the grace of God, outside of Jesus Christ. Because you die in that natural born state. You die in that state, that condition of sin. My friends, your end, your misery, your worst misery, your worst nightmare, believe me, has only just begun. So that natural state, sin, my friends, sin, that's all it is. That's all any one of us is, just a lump of walking, breathing, talking sin. That's all we do. That's all that comes out of your nature. Even your very best of deeds, your righteousnesses, says God, are like filthy rags. That's the things that you perceive to be good, you know. But the truth of the matter is, there's none good, says God, and there's none that doeth good. If it's not done through faith in Jesus Christ, it's sin. So you have no good. You have nothing to commend you to God. Nothing that you can offer to Him. No brownie points gained by anything you do, because everything you are and everything you do is nothing but sin. And so you need my gospel, you see. It's not what man was made for. Man was made in the image of God in the beginning, but that's lost, that's gone. With a true knowledge of God and perfect righteousness, my friends, that's gone, eliminated. Sin has destroyed. Sin has destroyed you. But the remedy is found. God has provided the remedy. God has provided a way back to Himself from that dark path of sin, that state of misery, into a state and condition of everlasting righteousness and happiness in His Son, Jesus Christ. Man was made in the beginning in the image of God. Was made upright, but man has sought out many inventions. Even now, today, you invent ways to sin against the Most High, to provoke God to more wrath. Sin, my friends, abounds and continues to abound, and will to the end, until God sends His Son, Jesus Christ, again into the world to judge the quick and dead. But until then, the sin just multiplies, grows and grows. The cup fills up and fills up until it's full, and then God comes in judgment. But man, made, my friends, not made for this, made to rule the world, the whole cosmos under God, but now fallen, ruined, broken, damaged, far away from God, without God, without hope in this world, and the world to come even. And so, my friends, only by the gospel, God sending, in His grace, mercy, kindness, love, and sending His Son Jesus Christ into the world to be a mediator, to be the one to bring men and women back to God, to bring an end of that warfare, that enmity, hostility, hatred in your heart against God and against your neighbor. Hating God and hating your neighbor, the very contrary, the very opposite to what we were made for. To love God and love your neighbor. But until the grace of God enters, until the grace of God intervenes, my friends, you remain in that state of death, in that state of misery, in that state of sin, cut off from God now, in time, and then for all eternity. Then with no way back to God, then with no way of repair, no second chances, the tree lies where it falls, the proverb says. You fall out of this world in your sin, not having been reborn, not having been made new, not having been regenerated. My friends, there's no changing then. There's no altering the condition then. Now is the time, the acceptable time, says God. Now is the time to come to Him. Now is the time to repent. Now is the time to forsake your evil ways. Cry unto Him that you might be saved. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Now is that time. Seek ye the Lord, says the prophet, while He may be found, because, well, today He can be found of you. Seek ye the Lord while He be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Comes near, so very near to you in the preaching of the gospel. But my friends, there has to be repentance. There has to be a turning from your wicked ways. The practice of sin has to go, my friends. The wrong thinking, there has to be a deep-seated repentance, a turning in the mind, in the soul, in the heart of men and women, bringing you to a love of the truth, receiving a love of the truth, in order that you might be saved and that you might be delivered from the strong delusions that your present society, generation has given over to. Given over to strong delusions, such as believing the fairy tale for grown-ups as evolution is, believing the fairy tale that men can become women and women men. What a delusion, what a deceit, what madness, what a delusion is that, my friends, I ask you. But that's what you're given over to when you will not and do not receive a love of the truth. It's a love of the truth, receiving the truth, the engrafted Word of God that is able to save your souls and bring you out of that state of death, bring you to life in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But only by the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. Whosoever believeth, you see, it's only believers. And to whom is given to believe. Because belief, you see, the faith is a gift. Not something you do or can't do yourself. Might as well try and pull yourself up by your bootlaces as try and believe by yourself. It's the gift of God, my friends. It's all gift. It's all grace. Amazing, astonishing grace. The grace of God that saves. Grace of God that opens the eyes of the blind. Removes the deaf, you know. Removes the stupid. Removes the dead. Removes the cursing and swearing as you pass by. You see, my friends, it's only the grace of God make you alive. But that grace comes to men and women through the preaching of the gospel. That those whom God will save, He imparts that grace to you. Jesus, he said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, he said, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. But he said concerning the opposition, concerning his enemies, he said, well, maybe perhaps the reason you don't hear my voice is because you're not of my sheep. Sheep to the right, goats to the left. Sheep to eternal life and goats to everlasting destruction. Which are you? Do you hear his voice? Or is it just the voice of a man that you hear? Hear the voice of the shepherd calling you out of the darkness, out of that natural state in which you are born, in which you are conceived, in which you came into the world shaped in iniquity so that you can do nothing else but your lawless deeds. You can do nothing else, love nothing else but your sin, hate God and hate your neighbor all your days. Until God, by His sovereign, free, astonishing grace, intervenes, breaks into your heart and life, and reveals these things, the reality of these things to you that I speak of today. And that you might, in the grace of God, be brought to repentance, turning before you burn, and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. So what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why should God be mindful of him? Why should God visit him? Why should the Son of Man come? Made of a woman, made under the law. The Son of God, the lovely, lovely Son of God. The sweet, sweet Son of God. In him is no sin. Made of a woman, came into the world, stepped down out of heaven to be the appointed and anointed Savior. Jesus is his name. It means Savior. The one suitable, the one able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through him. Only name by which you can be saved. None other name, says God, under heaven by which you must be saved. I am the way, says Jesus. No other way. Not in the name of your traditional religion. Not in the name of any one of your cults or sects. Any one of your world religions. Not a halfworth of salvation, forgiveness outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's Christ that you need. It's Jesus that you need, not religion. It's regeneration, resurrection that you need, not religion. Religion won't put life into your soul. Religion won't put the life of God in you. Won't put the love of God into your heart. Only Jesus can do that. He who says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who is able to raise you from your tomb, from your grave of unbelief and sin, your misery. Resurrect you out of it. Make you alive. Put life into you. For he means when he says you must be born again. God must come supernaturally, miraculously, and put his life into you. And his love into your heart. Till then you continue on. Without the Son of Man, the Son of God. Without Jesus Christ, the only Savior. That's why he was given that name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. His people, not everybody. Not everybody. Only those who believe. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Not everybody, not every man, not every woman, not every child. Those who believe. Whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Son of Man, Jesus came and comes to rescue and to save his own people. and hearing the gospel, they hear his voice. And he gives unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They shall have everlasting life. Son of man, my friends, the Son of Man came, visited this earth, came down, my friends. I only came a couple of miles to preach the gospel to you. The Son of God came all the way from heaven to tread this sin-cursed world amongst sin-cursed men and women, to be abused by them, to be taken and mocked and scourged and crucified by them, in order, my friends, that in the will of God, his people might be saved, might be forgiven, and might be given the assurance of eternal life and of a home one day in heaven, to raise them out of the dunghill of sin, to remove them, rescue them from the swamp of this present evil age in which you find yourself. The world in which you live is like a swamp, and it's full of all the garbage of human sin, all the vileness and sickness. And that's what you swim about in every day to your heart's delight. And the preacher comes and calls you out of it. And what do you say? No, we love the swamp. We love the swamp. He calls you to repent, and what do? You stick your fingers in your ears. You don't want to hear. Unless Jesus, unless the mighty Son of God, I tell you, unless he drags you out of the swamp. But that's what he came for. That's what he came for. He came down into the swamp himself, untainted, unspoiled by it. But he came down into the swamp himself to rescue sinners from out of the swamp, out of the garbage of human sin, all the muck and filth that keeps you from God, keeps you from his kingdom, and will keep you from heaven one day. Unless you're washed, unless you're made clean. Lamb of God, taketh away the sin of the world. His blood was shed in order that you might be washed and made clean. Have you been washed? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You must be. Tell you, whatever you are, religious or irreligious, if you've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, I tell you, does not wash you, you remain filthy, dirty, defiled, unclean, and unacceptable to God. Filthy, my friends, to a man, to a woman, you must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. No other way. No other way back to God. The sin must be dealt with. You can say prayers. You can be religious. You can do the pillars of Islam. You can do the stations of the cross. You can do all that popish business. But I tell you, my friends, unless you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, unless you're born again by the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are, my friends, separated from God by your iniquities, and there's only one. The Son of Man who visited this earth, who came down into the sin-cursed world to rescue sinners, vile, rotten, and undone, and to reconcile them to God. By his atoning death, by his dying on the cross, and by his rising from the dead, predicted long, long ago, before the events even took place, prophesied, predicted back in the Old Testament of the Bible, how that God would send his Son, and why, and what he would do, and just as it was prophesied, so it came to pass. So it came to pass, my friends, even the blind, even today, the blind can see that the things of which God has spoken in his word are being fulfilled even now. Even now, as I speak to you. But these things were foretold many, many, many years before the events took place, before Jesus Christ was born, made of the woman, before he stepped down into this world. And just as God prophesied through his prophets, just as they declared, so Jesus came. The Son of Man came, born of a virgin, lived that blameless life, died that atoning death on the cross, and rose again from the dead in order that sinners might be saved. In order that sinners like you might be reconciled to God. Prophet Moses declared back in the early days of the Old Testament, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness, no remission of sin. Has to be bloodshed. All the Old Testament sacrifices you read of, the Old Testament, the Bible, they all point to the one ultimate sacrifice. The sacrifice, the blood that God Himself provided. His own Son, the Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world, slain on that cross. His blood spilled, my friends, in order that sinners might be washed and made clean, justified, made right with God, forgiven. It's the heart of the gospel, my friend, that there is forgiveness with God, that He may be feared. Forgiveness, cross. But without the removal of your sin, you can be as religious as you please. You can dress up in religious garments, and you can do religious things, and go to religious places. But until you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you have no access to God, none whatsoever. So my friends, this is what the Son of Man, this is what Jesus, the Son of God, came for. Came into the world to save, to rescue sinners. And now, my friends, now He's Lord. For Thou hast made Him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned Him with glory and honor. My friends, dead, buried, raised again from the dead, and rules now from heaven, and coming again to judge the quick and the dead. My friends, oh my friends, the gospel, the good news, that God has come in His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. He has visited us. But He's going to visit this earth once again. He's coming again. You say, where? Where is this coming? You've been talking about this for the last 2,000 years. Where is this coming? All the time He's coming. All the time He's coming in judgment. All the time He's coming in salvation. He comes in the earthquake. He comes in the tsunami. He comes in the car accident. He comes in the COVID-19. Coming, acts of judgment, always coming invisibly. And He comes to save through the preaching of the gospel. He comes again and again and saves His people. His people, those chosen to salvation. He saves them. He plucks them as brands from the burning. He brings them to repentance. He brings them to faith in Himself, the Son of God. He comes invisibly. But the time is coming when He's coming visibly. With His holy angels in flaming fire, says the Bible, to take vengeance upon all them that know not God and who obey not the gospel. Your disobedience to the gospel, my friends, it's the one thing that keeps you from the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent. This, says Jesus, is eternal life. But my friends, in disobedience, refusing, rejecting the call of the gospel to repent and believe the gospel, my friends, your rejection, your refusal, keeps you from that knowledge of God and keeps you from eternal life. And so therefore, when He comes to visit the earth again, when He comes with His holy angels, you will be nothing but an object of His vengeance. But those who obey the call, those who hear His voice, those who turn, those who repent, those who believe on the Son of God, they will be objects of His admiration when He comes. Not, of course, because of anything in them or anything that they've done, simply because of the grace of God. That's the only thing that makes a difference between men and women throughout the human race. The distinction is made clearly in the Bible, my friends. The godly and the ungodly. The sheep and the goats. Those with grace and those without it. It's the grace of God alone that makes anybody different. It's all of God, beginning to end, start to finish. He starts it, He carries it on, and He finishes it. Brings it to a conclusion. Eternal, everlasting life. For those, that is, who are the recipients of God's grace. Recipients of the free gift of God. Wages of sin is death, but the gift, free gift, gratis, grace. The free grace of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Lord, whom I declare to you today. So God's excellent name, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. It's the name by which He's known. It's the name by which He reveals Himself. And He has made Himself known in all your creation. All that He has made clearly visible, clearly known, but more fully and clearly in His Word. In the Word of God from which I speak to you today. And the Word of God that's offered to you today. Through the self-same Word, my friends. Given to you in order that you might search the Scriptures. The Bible, that is. For these are they which testify of Me, says Jesus. You want to find Him? But of course, an atheist can't find Jesus for the same reason that a thief can't find a policeman. Doesn't want to. These are they which testify of Me, says Jesus. He's to be found. Can a man find out God by searching? By your own reason? By your own thinking? Can you search out the universe by your own thinking and reasoning? How much less God, my friends? How much less the Almighty? No, my friends, the Word of God, the grace of God, the Spirit of God, you must be born again. God must give you the understanding of His Word. God must bring the light to you. God, my friends, must change you for His glory. His glory is revealed, my friends, in the gospel. The glorious, glorious gospel of our God. Where mercy met the anger of God's rod. Where the wrath can be taken away. The holy displeasure of God because of your sin can be removed. Son of God set forth to be the means of that happening. The wrath of God already revealed from heaven against your ungodliness and unrighteousness can be removed, can be taken away. God's Son, Jesus Christ, the gospel, it's glorious, it's wonderful. But until you've tasted the bitterness of your sin, until, my friends, God makes it hateful to you, and hateful enough for you to abandon it. No way. No way will you ever taste. No way will you ever find the gospel to be sweet. Until, my friends, God makes your sin bitter to you. Until He makes it hateful to you. You'll stay with it. You'll love it. You'll swim in it. And you'll die in it. And you'll go to a lost eternity in it. You'll burn in hell with it. For all eternity, unless God by His grace comes to you and shows you how vile, hateful, how bitter your sin is, then, my friends, then I tell you, God gives you a glimpse of the reality of your sin. I tell you, then you'll swim shark-infested waters to get to Jesus. Because nobody else can save you from your present, very, very real danger. The damnation of hell. The damnation of hell. That's the reality, my friend. That's the reality. And I tell you, this God, with this name, Jehovah Jesus, I tell you, nothing stands in opposition to Him. You can rail and you can rage against Him today, and you can blaspheme His lovely name. But I tell you, in that day when the dust settles, only one kingdom left standing. Not the kingdom of this world. Not the kingdom of Muhammad. Not the kingdom of the Pope. Not the kingdom of the Watchtower Society. Not your tiny little sinful disgusting kingdom. But the kingdom of God. That's the only kingdom left standing at the end. And those who belong to it. And in that kingdom, when it fully and finally comes, will only reign righteousness. And those who are righteous by the grace of God, by the free grace of God, saved by the gospel, the power of God. That, my friends, that's what it takes to save a sinner. That's what it takes to get you out of your sin. That's what it takes to get you out of the swamp of this present evil age. It takes dynamite. The dynamite of God, the power of God unto salvation, to blow you out of that sin nature and into the kingdom of God. Because without that power, you are powerless. Powerless, my friend. You can't even keep up to your own standards, never mind God's. You can't even live to please yourself, never mind please God. No, my friends, it takes more power than you've got. More power than any religion has. It takes the power of the gospel, Jesus Christ. Made of a woman, made under the law, who came, died for sinners, and after the third day, just as the Bible said He would, after the third day, raised again from the dead, through faith in my gospel, through faith in God's gospel, in God's word. Obedience, my friends, is called to the call of God. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many hear the call, but only a few. Only a few chosen. Only a few who obey the call. Only a few, my friends, who yield, submit themselves to King Jesus. Only a few. But those who do, the call comes to you today once again. Jesus says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel, He says. Why? For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Newcastle. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God's word that's offered to you, freely, without cost or obligation to you. No cost at all to you. You like a copy of God's Word, New Testament, in its entirety, offered to you. Feel free to come and ask for one. You'd like one? No cost, no obligation to you. The Word of God. Study, meditate upon it, and see what God the Lord would say to you. Like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you, and have mercy, I say, upon your precious, never-dying souls.